So what do you think? This is rather unusual behavior for Jesus, don't you think? What triggered it? The clue is given right in there when the disciples remember words that come from sacred scripture of zeal for your house will consume me. And then the words that Jesus speaks as he's driving out the animal sellers, the bird sellers, the money changers. You've turned my father's house into a marketplace. Now, there are actually three different places. There's this one in John's gospel, then you also encounter a cleansing of the temple in Matthew, in Mark and Luke. In John, it's right after the wedding at Cana, so it's really early in the gospel. And then Mark and Luke, you find it after Jesus' triumphal entry into the city where he's about to undergo his passion. Did somebody get confused somewhere? Scripture scholars actually think they may be trying to tell us that Jesus actually did this twice. Apparently they didn't get the message the first time around. So again, what is it that triggered Jesus to do this? What's going on? The temple is meant to be a place of where the people come together to offer sacrifice to the Lord. There are three major pilgrimage sacrifices that they are obligated, if once they cross the age of 12 years old, to come to Jerusalem to perform, as well as it's a place for prayer, a place to offer praise, and to offer prayers of supplication to God. And that meant the entire temple area, including what's in this area, they're in what's called the outer court, or the court of the Gentiles, which was established so that even Gentile peoples who were, you know, they've not received circumcision yet, they're not fully a participating part of the Jewish community, but they were to have a place where they could come in and offer prayer and praise and thanksgiving along with the Jewish people as well. So what's going on instead? Well, this is the area where you find the animal sellers, the bird sellers, and the money changers. They're in that area, the court of the Gentiles. So what cannot happen? Now, how many of you like to go to sporting events? Well, that's a smaller number than I expected. Or at least watch them on TV, or you like to go to places where you have lots of people in there buying and selling stuff. Can you imagine trying to pray in the middle of a big crowd of people who are, you know, cheering their team on, or, you know, like going to a yard sale or some of those things like that? It's not very conducive to being able to pray because there's so much noise. So what's happened is something has been going on that is obstructing the purpose of that temple area that was meant to be set aside for people to come together and pray before God. How did it get in there? Why is it there? You know, one of the things that we don't understand, because things are a little bit different for us, if you were going to one of those major pilgrimage feasts, especially, you had to bring in, have an animal to offer in sacrifice to God, and it had to be unblemished, and you've got people that are coming not from 2 miles away, but some of them a few hundred miles away, because you've got a million people or more coming together into Jerusalem for these major pilgrimage feasts. And how easy do you think it would be to maintain an unblemished animal from, like, say, as far as Syria and Damascus to get to Jerusalem and still have a worthy animal to offer in sacrifice? So the logic was, let's have it available to purchase an animal for sacrifice there on location. And then since they're coming from foreign countries, they all do not have the same currency, so you need somebody who can change from your country's currency to temple currency so you can purchase your animal for sacrifice and have it ready to offer. Problem was, they were doing it inside the temple, which is supposed to be a house of prayer. The purpose of the temple had been corrupted. Jesus cleans house. because he has this zeal for his father's house being there and available for its purpose. Do we have any issues with that 2,024 years later? You know, it's interesting to know, how did that get set up and was happening in the temple area? Because obviously the high priests and the people in charge of the temple complex were allowing it to happen. They were failing to do their job of making sure that God's temple was a house of prayer for all people to gather. So I think something needed to happen to clean it out. And we still need the same thing. When we come together, do we have a sense that this is a space that is deliberately set apart for something different than from out there? That literally there should be a behavior change as we come in through the doors that separate the narthex from in here. Here's a hint. Yes. All intra-human conversations should cease, because what should be beginning as soon as we get in here? Our conversation be solely privately in here and directed there towards God. Conversation in church shouldn't happen, because we're coming together here not to have a party with each other. We're coming in here to offer prayer and sacrifice and thanksgiving and praise to God. Literally, the only conversation that should happen in here is between you privately and God. We've lost that. And like the clergy of the temple were largely responsible for the commotion that was going on in the temple courtyard, today's clergy are responsible for the chaos and confusion that goes on in church these days. And we had some priests who thought it was a really great idea to have somebody like an Egg McMahon doing a pregame warm-up for Johnny Carson. You have to do something, get everybody all warmed up. No. What gathers us together is when we get into here in the church and the priest starts with this, in the name of the Father. I know you know how to do this. The Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what unites us together as God's people who are beginning together to corporately offer up our prayer, not to each other, but to God. We've lost that, and we need to get it back. When masses ended, when should conversation with fellow humans restart? As I look at a bunch of people going like, huh? No. After we're back out through those two sets of double doors out in the narthex. Why? There are people who want to come in here early before Mass starts to have a chance for some private prayer to begin to prepare themselves for all that's going to go on while they're in here, which I would encourage all of you to do. Hint. Now, we all come through, we've got all kinds of stuff going on during the week from the last time we were here till we come back again. And it's meant to be a chance that we can kind of collect ourselves and be ready to receive the Word and the Word made flesh. Remember the two great commandments? Love God with your entire being and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe you don't want to come in early and prepare yourself to celebrate the Mass, but there are people in here who do. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be respectful of those who have come here early and do not distract or disturb them. Same with the end of Mass. There are people who want to be able to stay in here and offer quiet prayer of thanksgiving for having just received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in the Eucharist. And love of neighbor, be respectful. Even if you don't want to, remember that there are those in here who do, so hold your conversation until you're back out there. I often hear, more often than you would think, complaints about children. Oh, they make so much noise. Huh. You know what happens to a church that doesn't have any children in it? Probably haven't thought about this, but let's think about it. If your church does not have any children, I mean even the little ones that are still in arms, your church is going to die. Those children are the future of the parish. The ones that are here right now with us and in any other parish anywhere in the world, they are the future of our church. Which means we should be willing to do what? Have some patience, be understanding, and welcome them. There's another side to that, too. You know, I think some of you probably realize every once in a while your children can be just a little bit challenging. You know, I grew up, my younger brother is severely autistic, so when I was really little, my parents did not go to Mass at the same time. Somebody always had to stay home with my brother Denny, so Mom would go to the later Mass, my dad would go to the earlier one, and since I could occasionally be a little bit challenging, guess which parent I went with? The one who went to the early one, because he knew how to slow me down with that parental look. Then sometimes they're just having a bad day. And you know, it is actually perfectly okay if you need to, for a few moments, to step out into the narthex. You can still hear because there are speakers out there, you can see. And when they've had a chance to calm down a little bit, come back in. Again, it's charity towards your neighbor. Being thoughtful of each other's needs. That's a part of being Catholic. Again, these children are the future of our church. Reverence. Should there be anything at all in your mouth while you're in here? I see this happen so much. Some of you I catch as you're coming in and say, please spit that out in the trash can before you go in the doors. We've forgotten there's this source of reverence we're supposed to have towards the Eucharist. We are about to receive our risen Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and there should be nothing in our mouth except water for an hour before Mass. Again, out of respect for the Christ we are about to receive. That includes chewing gum. Hint, that includes chewing gum. Have respect for our Lord in the Eucharist. It means respect for our neighbor and for the Lord in the Eucharist. Mass begins, and when should you be here? Like this Mass starts at 10:30, which means you should be here by 10:30. Be here when Mass starts. Why? Remember, charity towards your neighbor. Do you know how distracting motion is to the human eye? Be respectful, be reverent, be here, be ready. And then the flip side of that is, when should you leave? We always have a mass exodus of people who receive communion on the run as they're heading out the aisle, out the door, to be the first one back out to their car. There's still no prizes for being the first out of the building. And there may be an anti-prize because we're manifesting a negative attitude towards the Christ whom we have received in the Eucharist. We keep losing our sense of purpose. And again, a lot of it has been from bad leadership. What about the sign of peace? That was one, if you know, some of you are old enough like me, you can remember Mass before the changes that started to happen, late 60s, early 70s. There was no sign of peace during Mass. And then those who were doing the work on how to, you know, reform the Mass, what's called the Novus Ordo, New Order of Mass, thought, you know, we need to put it back in. It used to be back in there up until about the early Middle Ages, and then it got taken out about the Council of Trent. And it was never meant to be much more than a peace, you know, something very subtle, very sober. And then as they're going through, they're trying to figure out, you know, should we put it back in? Where should we put it back in? How should it be done? And there's a lot of debate that went on. And you can tell that they really weren't completely convinced that it should be in there, because if you read the red print in that big book over there, it says, you may invite the people to exchange a side of peace. May, which means you also may not. There's a problem, you know, some things have unintended consequences. You know, what I've seen, I've been doing this now for 35 years. Right at that very moment, when we're literally about to come forward to receive Christ in the Eucharist, and our intention should be most intensely focused this way, what do? All of a sudden, we take our attention, rip it back down, and send it all over the place. A lot of that was fostered by us. You see people crossing the aisles, going from one side of the church to the other. It just turned into this moment of absolute total chaos. Then we're trying to get back and suddenly recollect ourselves to be ready for who we are about to receive in the Eucharist. Yeah. Can you tell I find that a little frustrating? Now, when we should be the most focused is when we should avoid doing anything that would cause us to lose our focus on why we're here. And why we're here comes down to the same thing of why people went to the temple: to offer sacrifice to God. Our sacrifice is the perfect sacrifice of Christ on the cross. This is our participation in his perfect self-offering. Along with, remember what I explained about how the offertory works? There's that point at which the priest will say, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father, and your sacrifice is you, yourself. Along with praise and thanksgiving and offering up to God our needs that we need his grace to help us with, including our constant need for God's mercy and forgiveness. Our attention should be going this way. Because let's be honest, we need it. We need the instruction of the word. We need the very power-filled graces of the sacrament, especially the Eucharist. But if we allow ourselves to get distracted, we lose a big portion of what we were meant to receive so that we can do what we are all called to do, clergy and laity alike, of taking all of this with us out there. If we let our focus be lost, then what we need out there and what we need to bring with us out there gets anywhere from minor to severely handicapped and weakened. So, why was Jesus doing this? Because he knew what his people then and what we, his people now, need. We need him as he comes to us, so we can live our lives powerfully in faith and be a powerful influence in the world around us.